Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who didn't know Andrew was away, I'll tell you I'm sorry. You're going to miss out on a good sermon. Our scripture for today is Psalm 118, 24. And I forgot to look up the page number. I'm so sorry, but 493, thank you. It's very short. If you don't want to look it up, you can just listen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Lord, we're so thankful for this day you've given us and the opportunity to worship with you. I pray that you will give me the words to say that might be meaningful to someone here today. Now, sweet Jesus, open our minds to wisdom and our hearts to love on this, your day. Amen. And I have a disclaimer before I begin. These are not all my words I'm going to say. I've taken a devotion from, it's a little excerpt from a famous athlete's new book. So I've taken this devotion that popped up on my cell phone and added some of my own ideas and deleted some others. I'll tell you who that athlete is at the end, because if you don't like him, you won't listen anymore. So I'll tell you who that is at the end. But just imagine waking up one day, fueled by a whisper, and that whisper is, this is the day. A day for what, you wonder? A day for change. A day that can be different. A day that can be better than yesterday. A day even in the revolving door, and we know how that is, of racing and getting ready for work or ready for your kids, ready for school. And you have this long to-do list. Make lunch. Take the kids to school. Check on my parents in assisted living. Take the kids to ball practice. And while they practice, I'll run, take someone else to dance. And then I'll pick them up at ball practice, and then I'll come back and pick up the dance and the band. It happens again and again. But this new day can be filled with more purpose and passion than you think possible. Think of a new day as a rich and precious gift from God. Imagine when hearing the sound of that morning alarm clock, and I don't like it at all. I don't know if you're that way or not, but I've never been a fan of the alarm clock. But just imagine when you hear it, instead of groaning or slapping that snooze button, does anybody here hit the snooze button? 2, 3, 4 times? Well, I just set my alarm for 4 different times. And then if I don't hit the snooze button, or if I do and then, or I accidentally hit the no more snooze, I'll still get up because it's going to go off one more time. But instead of groaning or slapping the snooze button, you awaken your mind, your heart, and soul to the possibility of maybe a quietly lifted prayer or a murmur of a favorite song. Something better than yesterday. And you open your eyes, and before your feet hit the ground running, you pause. You choose not to be ruled by the tune of just getting by, not to allow what really matters to get swallowed up by the daily grind, and not to ignore what you really want out of life. This is the day that God has made. This day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it keeps going like a revolving door. Every day is a special day that God has made. Whatever moment you're breathing in, God made this day. As the word says, let us be glad and rejoice over each day. Even when times are tough, something about this day is good. There's always a reason, no matter how small, to find joy in this day. Sometimes, though, we have to look for it. I've had days when I felt like I had to get out the magnifying glass and try to find that good thing that's going on because it's just been so hectic. But you know, a sunrise. Many of you know at the beginning of the school year, I was doing a long-term maternity sub in fourth grade over here at Welford Academy. And things just weren't going so well. I think there's too big of a generation gap between me and fourth graders, number one. Number two, things weren't flowing well, had some real strong behaviors in the class. But I turned to go down one of the roads, and right there was the most beautiful sunrise. I said, okay, God, I got this. I can do it. I've always loved to look at the stars and the moon at night. The moon's always fascinated me. In fact, I think it was Logan I told, when I was much, much younger, I thought it'd be great to go to the moon one day. Now, not so much. But anyway, a big full moon, there's nothing more beautiful. If you can catch it just coming up the horizon, unless you're a teacher, and then it makes the kids go wild and you don't want to see that full moon. One day I was at the nursing home when my mom was there, or as we called it, the skilled nursing facility. And all the patients seemed to be kind of whining and shouting out, and the lights kept going on in all the rooms. And I said to one of the nurses, I said, everybody seems a little needy today. And she said, yeah, it's a full moon. And I said, well, I didn't know it affected other people like it did children. Or maybe you walk by and you see this one beautiful flower. Or you get that one sweet hug from a child. Maybe it's an adult child. Maybe it's a small child. Or that butterfly that flutters past. I've been trying to get on a schedule for walking. I need to improve my health. And so I was walking the other day, and this one lone monarch butterfly went flittering past. And it was just beautiful. And I thought, yeah, God sent that to me. I'm walking to see that monarch butterfly. Sometimes we have to ask God to help us find what we're looking for. But it is the Lord who has made this day, and he planned for it. God gives us today as a gift. He wants us to pursue it, not for our selfish ambitions, not for us, but to do something meaningful with the day. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he tells us, he is faithful and takes care that today we will not be tempted and tried beyond our ability to bear. To use it the day for us to grow, to love others, to help someone, maybe to pursue a dream that he's put on our hearts. This is the day to live without fear of the unknown, without being held back by failure or what ifs. This is the day to be willing to change, to be open, to believe, and to hope. And I know you know, but I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to anybody else. I have this dream, and I keep putting off this dream, and so I'm talking to myself. I need to act on my dream. And Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So every day we should strive to do some kind of good work, whether it's an extra prayer for a friend or a visit to someone or even a phone call, someone you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe it's a shut-in, or maybe it's you go visit someone at the assisted living facility. There's always some little small something that we can do each day. Or maybe write a letter or a note and mail it to somebody. You know, we almost never get a piece of mail unless it's a bill. You know that. And getting that mail, that card, it kind of does something to your heart. How different would your day be if you lived out the words of Psalm 118:24? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Instead of me driving to that fourth grade class with a heavy heart and worry and stress, I need to go to let my light shine so that I might make the day a little better for someone else. Because I'm the oldest and biggest one up there, and I always win. Let's think about it. If we live out their words, is there something you would change? I need to change some of my health issues. I need to walk more, and I need to eat more healthy. Is there someone you would reach out to? Is there a neighbor that needs help? Maybe their lawnmower's broken and you need your grass cut. That happened to me one time. And when someone steps up and does something that small for you, it means an awful lot. And God doesn't overlook it. Is there something you would need to give of your time? Maybe need to give of your service? Time to your family? Time to your work? Although we all give more time than probably needed at work. Is there something you need to let go of? Let go of some issues within your family. Or let go of some words you've had with a coworker. Or let go of some bias you have with someone. I'm not saying putting this into practice is ever easy. You know, hard times are inevitable. Now, there's really hard times, but there's little hard times. Like, I remember that morning I was up, I was getting ready. Now, this has been several years ago. I thought I was doing great. Had my breakfast, my coffee, I was dressed and ready, and I was going to be a few minutes early to work. Run out that door. No, I just walked out that door to get in the car, and bam, I had a flat tire. Yeah, it didn't start out great. 2 hours later, I was at work. Sometimes there's sickness. You have sickness or someone in your family. That makes things a little harder. Or maybe you lose a job, or maybe your company's downsizing. Or maybe they're saying, yeah, we just need you to work part-time now. All of those make days a little hard. Obstacles will come. You know how sometimes how do they say it? Your check runs out before the month runs out. Is that how you say it? There's more month than there is money in your check? So sometimes there's a lack of finance. Sometimes your air condition breaks. Sometimes you have a flat tire. Sometimes you fall and get hurt. Those obstacles will come. Some battles are harder to fight than others. We may get knocked down, but we don't have to stay there. Each day we wake up, we have a chance to get unstuck, to step out of a comfortable routine that may be limiting our potential. So we have that routine. Get up, get your shower, put your clothes on, drink your coffee, eat your breakfast, watch a little of the news, and go on to work. That's that mundane, everyday routine. But sometimes we need to step out of that comfortable routine, and we need to fight for something that's important. We were made not to just survive today, but to thrive in it. And y'all are going to laugh at me, but you know how most ministers and a lot of speakers always define a word? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to define the word thrive. I was proud of myself. So to thrive means to prosper, to flourish, or to bloom. I love that word, to flourish. That's good. Let's be encouraged to stop putting off our dreams, our goals, and the purpose God has for us. It's time to become the person He has created you to be. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For today the good works are being prepared for us, and we will have abundant grace and strength to walk in them." And it's never too late, guys. You're never too old, you're never too young, you're never too, I don't know what to say, but you're never too middle-aged. We can all have a purpose, not only in our life, but also in this day. There is always something we can do right now to improve ourselves, to make an impact on someone or something else, or to create or enjoy a meaningful moment. Let's challenge ourselves, all of us, me included, right now to begin to think about each day as an opportunity to, it's kind of a football, baseball. Football, you want to crush the opponent. Baseball, you want to crush the baseball. Probably in golf, you want to crush the golf ball, the tennis ball, whatever. But let's take the opportunity to crush it, to go after the right things, to gain a better perspective, to step out of our comfort zones, and to go for it all. Now, I need to step back because somehow I got excited, I guess, and started. And I didn't talk about the title of the sermon, which, how is your daily practice going? And just as I told the kids, we're talking about practice on God's team. And every day we have that chance to practice. And that's what my whole message revolves around. Yesterday, Anna and Abby and Bailey and I had the opportunity to go to the first ever Spartanburg District United Methodist Day. And it was organized, and people had tables set up so that we could learn about programs, United Methodist programs, in our district and in our state. And it was quite delightful. We were a little late. We missed out on the registration and the little snacks beforehand, but we had a short little service, and then we went into the gymnasium fellowship hall. And there were tables, and you could learn about the Bethlehem Center. You could learn about first steps for children. There was a guy there about insurance. They only insure churches, and I told him I was the wrong person to talk to on that. And they had some things for kids. They had a bouncy house, face painting. They painted rocks. But they had some places that I visited, and I was certainly enlightened. And I meant to have a visual. I meant to bring you the paper today, and I forgot those. But one of them was the Epworth Children's Home. The minister who's there at Epworth, they have their own church, was so delightful, and she's so full of Epworth Children's Home. You all know it's there. It's in Columbia. And we just talked about so many things. So if you don't know what to do to help someone else, or let's get together one day. We can make an appointment. We can go down there. Now, we can spend the night if you want to, and they'll put us up in probably a dorm. They'll feed us our meals, but we're going to work. Or we can just go one day, like on a Saturday. They said one group of young people, and we're still working on getting our little people to grow into young people, came down and they painted the prayer room in their church. Some other people came down, and they have the children live in cottages. And inside needs refurbishing, so they painted the walls in a cottage. So there's lots of opportunities at Epworth Children's Home. Also, they have this very famous peanut butter ice cream. I had heard about it before, but that's not all. They have sea salt caramel ice cream that they make there, vanilla bean ice cream, and a chocolate swirl. Now, Anna's dying laughing because I'm the ice cream queen. I'll eat it all. But some man has gone in and funded the opportunity for them to market it. So hopefully it'll be in a store up here before too long. The only place you can buy it in a store is in Columbia right now. Some other things we learned, that they only can take children starting at about 10 or 11, and they meet every one of their needs. But I think the most exciting thing that I heard yesterday, and Abby works with these kids in high school, and she had little tears running down her face, is they bought another children's home not far away, and they made it a residence for their teenagers and their college-age students. Now, you hear about DSS, and this is not a slap on DSS at all, but in that program, when you're 18, you're pretty much out on the street. Oh, no, not at Epworth. Guess what they do? They have them housed there. So when they go away to college and it's Thanksgiving and everybody goes home and they don't have a home, they can come back to Epworth. That's their home. So at Christmas, they can come back to Epworth. That's their home. And they have a lot of endowments, and they've invested them well. And so they can help them buy their first car, help pay the insurance on the car. I mean, we left so enlightened. It was just wonderful. And there was one more thing I was going to tell you about, because we all have the opportunity for Epworth. We can just go visit if we want to. I think every time you go visit, you get peanut butter ice cream. So there's always an opportunity out there to do something. See, these were several new opportunities I just learned about yesterday. Okay, I talked about being at Epworth, and I came away with a renewed spirit and additional ways to make an impact and improve myself. Do you ever think, well, what can I do? Or what else does he want me to do? This is the day that you can begin living with passion the decision set out for us out of our comfort zone. We all know the race is not always won by the fastest runner. And I think Andrew's told this story. And this isn't about Dan Jansen, but I was watching speed skaters and Winter Olympics one time, and they were just going. And there I was. It wasn't me. But there's the last guy. He wasn't giving up. He was just trying his best. Well, everybody in the front, one knocks into one, and they all fall. And that last skater, not so great, he won the gold medal. So let's don't ever give up. It's okay if you're last, but keep on running that race. A day is not always conquered by the one who has the most skill, the most smarts, or the most talent, or even the most money. The one who tries to live each day to its potential is the one who doesn't give up. And these were some examples, and I immediately began to think about some people that I had learned about or heard about or knew about. She's the one who's not afraid of working hard for something that matters. And that certainly reminded me of Mother Teresa. He's the one who doesn't let setbacks stop his momentum. And I thought about Abraham Lincoln. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln lost like 8 elections before he ever won one? But he didn't give up. He kept persevering. She's the one who's not afraid of the pain of growth. Do you know who Bethany Hamilton is? She was the young surfer who her arm was bitten off by a shark. That's pretty gross, isn't it? But that's what happened to her. She didn't stop. She didn't sit at home, well on her bad news, her sadness. She got back out there, and she is surfing again. She's married. She has children. So she didn't give up, even through that pain of growth. He's the one who will fight no matter how big or strong the opponent. And I immediately thought of David. You know, he fought that giant, that Goliath. He was bigger. He was stronger. But he wasn't afraid. He knew God was with him. So do you want to get better at something? Do you want to be successful? Do you want to see that dream happen? Do you want to make a difference? Want to conquer life's obstacles, detours, and roadblocks? Let's be on God's team. Let's practice every day to be on God's team. Let's don't be that player that Andrew talks about, got at the back because he didn't want to hit anybody. Don't be that person who sits at the back of the room because you don't want the professor to call on you or ask you a question. But let's try to be on God's team. This is a good sports term. We need grit. We need drive. We need to be persistent. We need to work hard. We need to change, and we need to grow. We need these things to give whatever passion we have momentum. There's no instant payoff with growth. It's not like I go and walk one day and see, I take it easy. I walk for 20 minutes. Aren't y'all proud of me? 20 minutes. And when my little buzzer goes off, I go home and get my cold water and sit in the air conditioning. I'm proud of myself. But that one day walking isn't going to do a lot of good for me. It's not like you train for an hour or 20 minutes and next day the Run for God group. That first day, y'all didn't learn to run a 5K, did you? No. After 12 weeks, some of you learned to run a 5K. So when you train and you try to improve yourself, sometimes it becomes uncomfortable. Sometimes you hurt. Now, see, I just walked 20 minutes because I didn't want to hurt. Sometimes you're even in pain. The payoff for whatever you do is in the faith that the training will pay off. You recover and you get better. And then you repeat that cycle over and over and over. So this week, if just one day you can choose to be on God's team and do one thing, let your light shine for one person or one opportunity, then the next week you might can do 2 days or 3 days until you get real good, because next week I'm going to walk and I have to walk for 30 minutes. But I hope being on God's team, that won't happen. Let me see what time it is. I told Andrew, he said, Mama, do you have everything? I said, I don't know. I worried it was too short. Now I'm worried it's too long. And, oh, my goodness. Well, there was one other person that I thought about being sports-oriented here, because Andrew's been doing that Get in the Game series. Was one day I went to school to Burns to pick up Abby, and I went around the back way, all the way around the football stadium, the soccer field, and there's one lone guy out there. One, and he was running that hill up and down and up and down, and it was hot, sun was shining, he was sweating up and down, up and down. He was working for his team. That was Marcus Lattimore, and you know what success he had, whether you're a Gamecock fan or not. You know the successes he has had. Now, maybe he wasn't on God's team at that time, but just think if we had that perseverance like him, how good we would be as part of God's team. What are you willing to climb over, hustle around, or break through to make something happen each day? Is there something in your marriage you need to work on? Or your family? or your workplace, or your dream, or maybe it's something with your relationship with God. Whatever your goal is, don't give up. Just keep at it and practice hard to be on God's team. Now, I told you I'd tell you who I got a lot of these words from. It's from Tim Tebow. I am a Tim Tebow fan. He is a great athlete. He won 2 national championships. He won the Heisman Trophy, blah, blah, blah. And those are great things, but the thing I most admire him for is he has a true passion for working in his Tim Tebow Foundation, which he began in 2010. The foundation's mission is to bring faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. The foundation is fulfilling that mission every day by serving thousands of deserving children around the world. And I wish I knew a little bit more about his foundation, but what I do know is he has, is it proms or dances or something? I'm sorry? A Night to Shine, it's called. And for all these children that are a little different, they get to go to a prom. They're given a gown or a tuck or whatever they need, and they go and they dance. And he attends a lot of them. So I'm a Tim Tebow fan, but that's where I got the words. He has a new book out, so if you want to check what I said, you can get the new book. Thank you for being so attentive, and thank you for just giving me this opportunity to speak. And I'm so thankful I didn't fall out or anything. So we're going to end today with hymn 140. It's not the same one that's listed in